Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I'm Sergio Sanchez from my friend Dana Lash. You've heard it said, you know, don't cry over spilled milk, but yeah, don't stab anyone as well. So there's this guy in Edgewater, 68 years old, who said that he was, I find this funny, self-medicating with beer. I guess what most of y'all do after work, right? He was self-medicating with beer to help his post-traumatic stress disorder. But he stabbed his sister in the face because she asked him to clean up some spilled milk. Okay, he stabbed her in the mouth, in the face, in her body, serious injuries. She wound up at the hospital. The sister told police that her brother is schizophrenic, bipolar, was arguing with her about that spilled milk. The woman said that her brother took one of his two knives at her, and he said he was going to stab her eyes out. My goodness. Sister, I think it's time that you look for a new apartment. Time to move out. The way things are right now, and because of these, well, one known, truly known ISIS terrorist attack by the terrorist in New Orleans, the other one, we don't know yet. I mean, it's an explosion that took place after a suicide. This guy popped one in his head, shot himself in the head, the guy in Vegas, and then ignited the explosives inside that Cybertruck. Islamofascism, Islamic extremists, I don't know, man. I don't know. And this guy had personal problems. He was, according to the reports, maybe he was unfaithful to his wife, had a new baby, went back to an old girlfriend. This guy, obviously not stable. You're in a condition like that where you take your life. You're not stable. You're mentally ill. There's something wrong with you. Well, at least we know there's one incident inspired by ISIS, inspired by Islamic radicals. And we need to go back in and police the ranks in the military, because this, unfortunately, provides ammunition to some of the internal American enemies. People, for example, this fool over at MSNBC, Larry O'Donnell. He was running the numbers saying, yeah, we've suffered more from our military than from individuals coming in illegally from the southern border. It's cut 15, Steve-O.
The New Orleans terrorist, like Timothy McVeigh, reached the rank of sergeant in the United States Army. The simple fact is this country has suffered more deadly terrorism at the hands of American-born citizens who are veterans of the United States military than people who have crossed into this country at the southern border.
Oh, my goodness. Before you start going, yeah, he's right. Absolutely, he's right. My friend, only the feeble-minded would follow an idiot like this in this conclusion. If you run the numbers on just under the Biden administration, run all the crimes, all the shootings, all the rapes from the Nungery family, the child in Houston, to this college student in Georgia, to the in Northern California, San Francisco area, all these people have been killed by illegal immigrants through the years, especially by this Biden administration that just opened up the border. All the dead in the wilderness and the desert, all the dead in the wilderness in South Texas that die from exposure to the heat, to the elements, all the dead people as a result of lax border policies. More people have died as a result of lax border policies, especially under the Biden administration, than any harm that has come to this country by some kook, some crazy veteran, or maybe even active veteran, active service member in this country. It's important to put everything in perspective. And with the Trump administration coming in, perhaps I'm thinking Tom Holman has the right mindset, or let's do the internal investigation. Let's do the assumption. You know, they do this at the CIA. I believe they still do it, or they do this at the FBI, where they have regular reviews of the agents to make sure that they're not being bribed. They move people around to make sure they're not being bribed, they're being influenced, being forced into criminal activity by by someone, to being blackmailed. They do these interviews. Maybe it's time that in our military, as we need to clean up the military and get rid of the DEI appointments, get rid of these men that are dressing women that are leading the military, try to evaluate the mindset of the military. Do a better job of that in taking care of our veterans, our present military members, and our veterans, and finally commit to having a fighting force that's ready to answer the call when necessary. Tom Holman, his comments, of course, confirming that this Islamic terrorist in New Orleans, he took his truck, killed 14 people, that, you know, it's in the military, came from the Army. But as you heard in that cut, saying it's time to make an assessment of what's going on. And I'm reminded of a comment by a friend of mine, a friend of the stations here in South Texas. He's a professor at St. Mary's University, Jeffrey Atticott, Dr. Jeffrey Atticott, who has been studying Islamic terrorism since the beginning, and since 2001. He set up an institute up in Central Texas, up in San Antonio, to study all these. Under the Trump administration, is important to, again, emphasize who the real enemy of our nation is. It's not white supremacists. It's not white racists. That is the boogeyman that the Biden administration tried to create and distract everybody from. The FBI and federal authorities have been going after the wrong people for several years now. They've been going after Christians, after concerned parents that want to attend school board meetings. They've been going after, and Lord knows how many hours and how many millions of dollars have been spent in investigations into the January 6th individuals, grandmas and business people and patriots who simply wanted to pause the process on January 6th, 4 years ago, because they had legitimate questions, suspicious activity during the election, the COVID election, the election that, you know, I don't trust that it was anywhere foolproof compared to previous elections. It's not 100% foolproof, but man, with all the rules that were relaxed in many states, the Patriots have showed up to Washington, and foolishly, they even though they were waved in, they walked, they were trespassing, and the FBI and the Justice Department, they went down hard on all these people. They sent them away. I think the first thing that President Trump needs to do when he gets into office is to pardon the overwhelming majority of all individuals who were there on January 6th inside the Capitol, walking around trespassing for whatever reason they were in there. Either they were waved in or somebody opened the door and maybe a cop said, hey, come on in. They were just walking around, which, by the way, Liz Cheney receiving a medal from Joe Biden, my goodness, that is rich. That's another middle finger to the American people. Liz Cheney, the liar. Liz Cheney, though, the one who suppressed all this information, all this video, all this testimony from Public Review and created a narrative to try to convince the American people that Donald Trump, he was involved in an insurrection, that the Capitol riot was an insurrection. From the J6 committee. Yeah, she receiving a medal from Joe Biden for this, just a middle finger from Joe Biden to the American people. The enemy of this country are the Islamic radicals who attacked us on 2001 and attacked us even before that. 1993, the first World Trade Center attack, the USS Cole embassy attacks, numerous other attacks, 9/11. We didn't learn anything from that, who the enemy is, who the wet dream that they have to kill Americans, to behead Americans, to throw a nuclear bomb at Americans. That's the real enemy. My friend Jeffrey Atticott from St. Mary's University. Again, the incident that took place with ISIS, this ISIS attack in New Orleans, it proves once and for all that the radical Islamic extremist, that is the enemy of America. And under Donald Trump, I hope and pray that Tom Holman and company, they're able to help us refocus.
Imagine a young woman facing an unplanned pregnancy, feeling alone and unsure of what to do, and she's searching for hope. And that's where Preborn Ministries comes in. You can make a difference for just $28. Your generosity can be the key to a mother choosing life for her baby. And with your gift, you will receive the story of a mom who chose life as well as the ultrasound image of her precious baby. And like the story of Kelsey, who found preborn, and after hearing her baby's heartbeat, she chose life. Consider making a larger, life-changing donation of $5,000, $10,000, or $15,000. Maximize your gift that can help women in unplanned pregnancies receive ultrasounds and even help place an ultrasound machine in a women's center. Donate for the gift of life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound or hashtag 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/Dana to donate online. Every contribution counts. So again, that's #250. Say the word baby or donate securely at preborn.com/Dana.
Okay, so let's do some headlines, Steve. Go ahead.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I say, let capitalism be capitalism. Look, check this out. President Biden blocking the proposed purchase of U.S. steel. Now, I recall an interview on this issue of how big the steel production industry is in our country. Of course, it's not what it used to be a century ago. But U.S. steel is only one of many players. It's only a small group compared to the many players and producers that we have in our country and the sources of steel. So President Joe Biden, and this is something that Donald Trump likely would have done as well. This is not to poo-poo Joe Biden, but also Donald Trump, you know, he's a more pro-union guy, you know, very populist in the America First mindset. Yeah, probably would side with Joe Biden on this one. I'm just saying because I get the impression that that's where Donald Trump would be. President Joe Biden blocked the proposed purchase of U.S. steel. It was a $15 billion deal. Of course, they can do the sign of the cross, say it's national security issues. All, I don't know. They need the cash at U.S. Steel. And I'm sure the unions got in the way. I suspect that they did got in the way of this. Hey, we need to protect the country. No. Look, in the event of a nasty showdown, a war, just go Venezuela style. Nationalize everything. Doesn't matter where it comes from. Oh, Japanese own this. Doesn't matter. It's like in Venezuela. Oh, U.S. companies own these car makers. Oh, it doesn't matter. We're going to nationalize. See? In the event of emergency, you know, with the power of the state, centralized state, they nationalize everything. Anyway, so Joe Biden flushed that Nippon Steel deal down the toilet. The U.S. Surgeon General warning about a link between alcohol and cancer wants a label on it. Dr. Vivek Murthy saying, put a label on alcohol. The more alcohol you consume, the greater the chance of cancer, he said. And as far as the better diets, according to the U.S. News World Report, the top diets, if you want to lose some weight, live healthy, the Mediterranean diet followed by the DASH diet. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You're listening to The Dana Show from South Texas.
Our partners at Caltech, the P15. Standard capacity, 15 rounds. I highly recommend the P15, especially if you're looking for a concealed carry striker fire pistol. This is from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. Striker fire reliability. It is the P15. Stands for 15 pews. I mean, maybe not the pew part, but 15 rounds. It comes with two standard capacity magazines. One's a 15-round minimal pinky extension. The other's a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. It's 1.27 inches approximately wide, 4-inch barrel, lifetime warranty, tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear as well. And the metal version comes with these gorgeous walnut panels. The polymer version, gator grip texture, lightest, thinnest, double stack 9mm on the market, hands down. Lighter and thinner than my 43X. Packs a punch without dragging you down, without compromising stopping power or concealability. It's a great, great offer from Kel-Tec, and you need to check it out. P15 in time for Christmas. Innovation, performance, and Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. KELTECweapons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
There's a write-up in Daily Signal from Carrie Sheffield, senior policy analyst with Independent Woman's Voice. This new Trump administration has a chance to shake up the White House press pool. I found that fascinating. Let's do it. Carrie, where do we start on this? It's the correspondent press group, that organization up in D.C. that makes decision on where to sit people from WAPO and ABC and CBS and all that, right? Those are the people that are calling the shots. They don't have right to do that, do they? I mean, this is federal property. This is a White House press briefing. I mean, can you explain how all that works up in D.C.?
Yeah, so it's an interesting legal question, and it's something that the Trump administration was very interested in. And they took a respectful approach and a hopeful approach. And the media, of course, the liberal media at the White House Correspondents Association responded very poorly and did everything they could to attack Trump. And the last year of the first Trump administration, I was a journalist in the White House press briefing room, and I was only invited because I was a guest of Kayleigh McEnany, the press secretary. I was not a member of the White House Correspondents Association, and I was granted access. I was a reporter for justthenews.com, which is John Solomon's outlet, and Chanel Rione from One American News, we were allowed in as a guest of the press secretary. And just through this dynamic, Chanel had applied to join the White House Correspondents Association and was rejected. And so basically, the history of the White House Correspondents Association, which is every year they have the big dinner, and that dinner is now used to attack Trump at all costs. This group is a outside nonprofit, and just by courtesy, for decades, the White House press office has granted basically control of who's allowed in the press room and who gets to sit where, who is granted basically access to the leader of the free world. And what was so striking to me, my first press conference when I was in there with President Trump, I wasn't allowed a seat. I had to stand in the aisle in the back with Chanel, and she had to do the same thing. And it was striking because both of us asked Trump questions that were substantive. Chanel asked a question about Iranian foreign policy. I asked a question about Hong Kong. I had just done one of the last interviews with Jimmy Lai, the Hong Kong billionaire, before he was imprisoned. And I asked Trump about the protesters in Hong Kong and about Jimmy Lai. And then I believe she was with NBC News, and she was seated in a plum location in a seat on the front row, I believe. And she asked a question about QAnon. I thought, how ironic is this?
Okay.
That the quote-unquote legitimate establishment legacy media, NBC or whoever it was on the front row who has the seat and all of the trappings in the good old boys club, or in her case, good old girls club, whatever, the stuffy establishment, elitist, out of touch, not understanding the voice of the people. She's asking about an internet conspiracy theory.
My goodness.
And so the reason she's doing it is because she wants to drag the president down, and she wants to make him look bad. And I'm here, and One American News is here asking substantive questions because we want answers for our people, and we want country to move forward. And what's interesting is that the people in the room, as it currently stands, we see it over and over. It is not proportionate to the voice of the people. And so I find it rich that the Washington Post, for example, their motto is democracy dies in darkness. Well, the root word of democracy is demos, and demos means people. And if half of the people are not represented in the press room, then you are failing. You are dying. You are making democracy die in darkness, Washington Post, because you are twisting and you are not representing the voice of the people. And they've come out, the Washington Post has come after my group and Independent Women's Forum and Independent Women's Voice, which we take as a badge of honor. But it's unfortunate because this causes severe mistrust and distrust and a decline in our social fabric and social capital because of the way the media is so destructive and so out of touch.
Carrie Sheffield, Senior Policy Analyst, Independent Women's Voice.
The Trump press team has an opportunity here. We've seen some signals that they want to. And Sean Spicer, God bless him, he started that process. He allowed for the first time Skype questions and remote questions into the press room from outlets that were not here, that weren't in the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was getting people in who were, you know, bloggers and non-traditional, but getting people in the room who are non-traditional and having more open access to conservative voices to be proportionate. If we're roughly in a 50-50 country, but it's not that way in the press room.
Yeah.
And so now there's some balance.
And there is more balance now overall in the market, and the eyeballs and the ears have been moving toward a more independent-minded and conservative-minded and liberty-minded press. We have more outlets now and more sources. And thank God for Elon Musk and X that they've been able to grow exponentially there and express themselves without being, you know, offboarded and denied revenue sources. Newsmax is growing. One American Network, as you mentioned. Who comes to mind? Daily Wire, Blaze. I got your article, your write-up, your opinion piece on Daily Signal. They're all over the place. And I would argue that if you add up those numbers like you're saying, man, you got more than half of the American public that are going online. See, the number one source for news is online. It's a platform of people going on X and going online to seek news information because they don't trust the low-rated leftist liars, the propaganda peddlers at MSNBC, the Clueless News Network, and ABC News shooting themselves in the foot, finally proving their leftist, Marxist bias going after Trump, the attacks on him. They completely crapped on any legitimacy that they have. It's the market is speaking, and people are moving towards the new, independent, liberty-minded, and conservative-minded press. Those people should be at the front of the line, front row in that press room. That's how do we make that happen?
Well, that's what's going to be interesting because there were two journalists in the Trump years who sued the White House because the Trump White House had revoked their press access, and the Trump courts lost in court. That was Jim Acosta from CNN, and then a reporter with Playboy. But the thing is, in the piece that you mentioned, the Daily Signal piece, and I looked at this, I interviewed Hans von Spaskowski, who is a legal expert. He said he believes the cases would have been won on appeal. But he recommended that when it comes to revoking passes he said the problem was more about the initial access or the initial credentials that were given. And then being very clear on the standards of how they would be revoked. And so that's really where the legal battle is going to be. But ultimately, at the end of the day, as you mentioned at the top of our conversation, the White House press briefing room is a government property.
Yep.
And it's no sense that an outside private nonprofit would be dictating who is allowed in that room. And I am all for freedom of the press. I mean, I'm a journalist by training. That was my journalism degree. I've worked in journalism in one way or another for almost 20 years. And I support freedom of the press. But at the same time, not allowing someone onto government property is not the same thing as stopping or shutting down. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of big tech, completely stifling through algorithms and bias and things like that. But again, those are private companies. So all of this is up for debate in the courts. But I think that we will see the Trump administration do more. There, Chanel Rion from One American News, who I mentioned, she has spearheaded and created a separate nonprofit to be a competitor to the White House Correspondents Association. So there had been some talk that the White House would recognize both credentialing bodies.
Okay.
And so that way there would be more competition. So we'll see what happens. But I think there's a lot of exciting momentum.
And I really do hope things get shaken up. Look, there are influencers who have more eyeballs. There's local TV stations and big markets that have more eyeballs than MSNBC at any given hour, or CNN for that matter, that they've just lost their audience. Maybe based on ratings, or maybe even some influencers that have big following. Those people need to have staff sitting there. Lord knows they're getting paid for all the attention that they get online. But this is a time to shake things up, and I do hope it happens under this administration. And whatever you can do to make it happen, we wish you luck, Kerry, and appreciate your time today. And keep in touch. Appreciate you joining us today on The Dana Show.
Thank you so much. God bless.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.